Hurts under center. He goes with a pitch to Barkley. Barkley across the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10. Goodbye!
Hello.
Another one!
Hello! Hello!
He's 40 yards! 40 yards!
He's unbelievable.
Who else? Merrill Reese, Eagles Radio Network, Saquon Barkley, 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, and that's all she wrote for a game that was pretty ugly for 3 quarters, Perloff,
oh, yeah.
And then your Philadelphia Eagles just ran away with it, literally, with Saquon Barkley.
It felt like the entire game the Eagles were on the brink of exploding, and it just wasn't happening. I was starting to panic. Are the Eagles going to lose this game that they are clearly outplaying the Commanders? Then finally it all came together.
It did. There were major, major turning points of the game beyond just Barkley. But even before that, Zach Bond, this is now the new guy in Philadelphia. He was kind of career sort of left for dead after being a New Orleans Saints draft pick. Philadelphia gets him, completely revitalizes, revamps his career. And it was a 4th-and-2. This is the controversial one. Dan Quinn, the head coach of the Commanders, decides not to kick a 41-yard field goal, not to attempt a 41-yard field goal. Instead, they try to go for it on a 4th-and-2. The snap is sort of bobbled. Jaden Daniels of the Commanders can't really get anything going. He starts running for the edge, and here comes Zach Bond, knocks him out of bounds. Yep. No gain on the next possession. Saquon Barkley scores his first fourth-quarter touchdown, and it was off to the races.
Well, it wasn't just Zach Bond. You notice on pretty much every play of the game, including that 4th-and-2, Jalen Carter, the Eagles defensive lineman, was in the backfield. He is, we had great promise for him. I think he fell to the Eagles at 9 because he had a lot of character issues with the driving incident.
Yep.
But he might be the Eagles' Aaron Donald. I mean, I think they mentioned him in comparison to Donald last night. I love a defensive tackle who blows up a game because they're just like forces of nature, and he's a force of nature. He blew up that play. That was a huge mistake by Dan Quinn. I knew it at the time. They had a 2nd-and-2. They were terrible in short yardage last night.
2.
No, I know. They had 2nd-and-2 and 3rd-and-2, and they just can't get anything going in short yardage because they couldn't block Jalen Carter last night. That was a really bad idea. It was 12-10, 8 minutes left in the game. The Commanders could have gone up 13-12. They needed to make that a field goal game because the Eagles couldn't hit a field goal.
Yep.
Instead, they tried to make it a touchdown game. I thought that was a really bad strategy. I don't care what the analytics said. I could tell even before the play, Quinn screwed that up.
So the short yardage situations, you're right, were totally off for the Commanders, and which is weird because you've been hearing Jaden Daniels, dual threat quarterback.
Yeah.
Why would you have trouble with short yardage? You should be gangbusters on short yardage.
They are. And up until tonight, they're one of the best fourth down teams in the league.
18 rushing yards for Jaden Daniels. He did have a cut that he got treated for during the game. But the other point you're making here, we're talking about last night's game where the Eagles win. They've now have control of the NFC East. This would have been a way bigger story, but the Eagles kicker missed 2 field goals and an extra point in a 1-score game. And it was dicey. I thought that guy wasn't going to make it out of the stadium. You know, you Eagles fans are nuts.
Well, Jake Elliott, the kicker, he's not just good. He's the best Eagles kicker of all time. Sorry, David Akers, if you're listening, big fan of the show. He's incredible. I mean, he's been amazing up until this year, but it's not just him. Everybody, you know, all of a sudden, Evan McPherson has probably cost Cincinnati the playoffs.
Bengals.
And he's very similar to Jake Elliott. Like, he's hasn't missed a thing coming into this year. And our
Justin Tucker.
So
from the Ravens.
I'm telling you, Jake Elliott, the Eagles kicker, is in that conversation. Look at his numbers. He never misses anything. And all of a sudden, a lot of kickers are losing confidence. Jake Moody in San Francisco.
Well, he's got to have been a disaster.
Do you think it's possible they're all watching each other's game highlights and losing confidence at the same time?
No, I don't think it works that way.
It can't be isolated because there are very, very established kickers who are killing their teams right now. Jake Elliott's the latest.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because we always talk about how this is one of the biggest things that's different about this generation of football is guys who can kick 50-yarders with ease, like Brandon Aubrey from the Dallas Cowboys.
It's like a layup.
There's not a 50-yard field goal that guy has met that he can't make. But you're right. At the same point, guys are off. And actually, as we get into previewing some of these great games for this weekend with all these teams with gaudy records going up against each other, major news for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep.
And again, I know it's weird to say this is major news, but it is. Harrison Butker, their kicker, is going on IR.
He's fantastic.
One of the most clutch kickers. And not just that. It's these have all been one-score games for Kansas City.
Huge issue.
And Kansas City's had to come from behind in 8 of their 9 wins. So, yeah.
Let me give you a number.
There we go. We're starting the show on a Friday. We're about talking about kickers.
The special teams is the story of this year. Jake Elliott was, I did the stat last night, 15 of 17 from 50-plus over the last 3 years.
Wow.
I can't do the math, but that's like 94%.
Yeah, that's good.
0 for 4 this year. 0 for 4. How do you go? What is happening?
Especially at home.
I don't understand. Yeah. There's something weird in the air. I think it's a league thing. I do not think it's just the Eagles. You know, and by the way, the panic of you always have whenever Tyler Bass lines up for a field goal. I can feel the anxiety coming from 100 miles away.
I've literally had to get on an piece of exercise equipment.
Yeah.
Just because Tyler Bass, I should thank him actually because, you know, he's keeping me in shape.
I don't even need to see the first 59 minutes and 30 seconds of the Bills Chiefs. I'm telling you right now.
It's coming down to Tyler
Bass. It's coming down to one field goal kicker.
You're right about that. We'll break down that game in more detail. But, you know, this was going to be a big game no matter what about who was really going to try to compete with the Detroit Lions in the NFC.
Right.
And I'm not saying that the Commanders are now pretenders or that, you know, they're not going to be in the conversation. But they got some things to work out.
No, they're out. You could say it. They're not in the conversation.
Here's the one part that scared me a bit about the Commanders. First of all, there's been a bit of a Jaden Daniels kind of swoon. You know, his offense coordinators, Cliff Kingsbury, the second half of the seasons have not been going well for him on the professional level or the college level. And you worry a little bit about Jaden Daniels now hitting, I want to say a rookie wall. It's too cliched. It's not what's happening, but it looked very difficult for them last night against the Eagles. So I'll just say that.
Yeah,
starting to lose a little confidence.
Oh, come on. Go ahead, say it. Okay. You know what you think. Everybody thinks it too. Cliff Kingsbury, second half, swoon, Jaden Daniels, rookie wall.
Just we're keeping an eye on it.
Well, so it's been two games. Think about it. It's been the Steelers defense, which is great, and they're very good against mobile quarterbacks. And I have to do a mea culpa. I think this Eagles defense is pretty good,
too. They have turned their weaknesses into major strengths.
So is it a function for Jaden Daniels of him struggling about the excellent defenses he's faced?
I mean, it's possible. Listen, the Washington schedule really lightens up here. The Cowboys next week, the Titans, the Saints. They've got a couple on paper wins here, but it's going to all depend on Daniels. And I thought really two things that I was a little, you know, bummed for the Commanders about last night. One, they could not get the ball to McLaurin. And you talked about Jalen Carter because they're getting so much pressure up front. None of these explosive plays could happen.
Yep.
And so that was number one. And then number two, I thought after the Barkley first touchdown of the fourth quarter,
right,
that kind of blew it open, that second touchdown that really was the one that iced the game, that was so easy. That is the easiest touchdown run he is ever going to have, the one that we played for you. There was a hole wide enough where EJ, 2 weeks off of his torn knee, could have run for a touchdown there. And I was like, ooh, the Commanders just laid down there. Like, they either a mental lapse or they were tired or they were beaten up, something. The defense showed no resistance in that second touchdown.
I don't read it like that. Like, you're saying it's a lack of effort.
Or focus or something.
No, I don't think so. I think the Eagles' offensive line was destroying them all game long. If Jalen Hurts had had a better game, they would have scored. And the kicker was alive. They would have scored 40 points. Because that offensive line is much better than the Commanders' defensive line. You forget about the Commanders. They cobbled together this sort of misfit toys on defense. Like, guys...
Well, Jonathan Allen's not a misfit toy. These are first-round picks.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the older players like Bobby Wagner and all of a sudden Jeremy Chin's out there. Like, oh, he's a Commander. Like, this is not... You know, we came in the season like they are cobbling together this defense. Nobody thought they'd be good. I think the personnel at the end of the day caught up. The Eagles have much better personnel. Yeah. So I think I see what you're saying. Like,
and it was a game into the fourth quarter,
but
though.
But it shouldn't have been a game because the Commanders couldn't block the Eagles' defensive line and they couldn't handle the Eagles' offensive line. It should have been. I honestly think
more comfortable.
I think Kellen Moore kind of got Dan Quinn outcoached Kellen Moore through three quarters. I don't think Jalen Hurts is comfortable in Kellen Moore's offense. Does he look like he's got command of what's going on?
Or not really.
He looks very uncomfortable. It's just really Saquon eventually just like kind of like the Ravens, like eventually open holes for your star running back. That's your best weapon. I just, anytime Kellen Moore loves to do play action and Jalen Hurts just does not seem comfortable. Like, something's way off there.
Yeah. 855-212-4227. Yes.
But I think both Jalen Hurts and Jaden Daniels were fine, but not explosive last night, right?
I just wonder, are you ready to jump off the Jaden Daniels I'm not saying bandwagon. We loved watching him in college. Are we going to hear from Daniels in a major way again this season? Or are we starting a second half slide here?
Well, you did read that.
He's going to look more mortal.
I was ready to jump off until you read me that schedule.
There's wins here.
Yeah.
There are wins here.
There could easily be a playoff trip.
Oh, I think they're making the playoff. I mean, they're 7-4.
I think any rookie quarterback making the playoffs is significant.
No, it's massive. I'm just wondering if the second half of the season is not going to look like the first. I mean, he's the runaway candidate for offensive rookie of the year. We're asking questions about whether or not you'd want him over Caleb Williams. If you redrafted, would he have gone number one overall? Well, let's see. Because let's see how this looks the second half of the season with Daniels. And then let's see what happens with Caleb Williams with a new offensive coordinator. I don't know if people think that's going to be a major change. And by the way, Bo Nix might make the playoffs.
I was about to say, is the debate who would you take number one, Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams still? Or is it Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix? I'm just saying, like, Caleb Williams doesn't look like he's giving Jaden Daniels much competition for this discussion.
We still have a little less than half of a season
left. It keeps getting worse and worse in Chicago. What are you talking? Okay. I would even do a show. There's no way Caleb Williams, you see one sign of improvement there that he's going to catch up with Jaden Daniels? No way.
Well, I don't know, but I know that it couldn't get any more rock bottom than having to fire your offensive coordinator in a season where you have a rookie quarterback. That's not what anybody wants to do. It's throwing everything into a spin cycle.
Right.
And so maybe you actually see a better Caleb Williams on the other side of this. I don't know. I want to see at least.
Yeah, I'm really skeptical that they're going to figure this out. You keep pointing out they have offensive line issues.
That's true.
And this guy, they hired Thomas Brown. He's coming off a rough stint in Carolina. I don't see that happening. And I think maybe just focus on next year with Caleb Williams. Let's leave him out of this.
All right.
Leave him out of this.
855-212-4227. So a little on the Commander side and Jaden Daniels having a just kind of an ineffective game, to be honest. Like, he didn't embarrass himself. He threw one bad pick, and it was definitely trying to do too much. It was the Reed Blankenship, right? Came up with that interception, probably the easiest catch he's going to have in his life.
Jaden Daniels is one thing he does. He does not throw a lot of picks.
He doesn't.
And I was watching.
But he was forcing it. It was obvious.
Well, generally, though, but that was a rare play for him because the Eagles desperately needed an interception all game. And I'm like, oh, just put it in harm's way, dude. You're losing. Just put it in harm's way. And he wouldn't do it. Then you put it perfectly. He was trying to do too much because they were struggling.
And then on the flip side, are you taking the Eagles a little bit more seriously now? Because I think for a while, you know, the Eagles have always had this impressive-looking roster. Jalen Hurts and Barkley, and you've got this great offensive line. Perloff is the president of the Lane Johnson fan club, you know.
And Jordan Mailata, too. Oh, my God. The video of him. Talk about a dancing bear.
And Jalen Carter, and we know N'Kobe Dean, and we know all these guys because of the Georgia, you know, how much success they had at Georgia, not to mention A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, you know. Like, it's stars everywhere. But I think a lot of people thought they may have been an unserious football team. Because the things that were around them were so silly. You know, the head coach is a clown at times. Big Dom is a thing in our lives. Like, this is not what serious teams do. But, you know, Pearl, I think, and I'm not just saying this about last night, now your team has won 6 in a row, and 2 of those wins have been against the Cincinnati Bengals impressively, and now really making Jaden Daniels look like more of a rookie. Are you willing to be a little more serious about the Eagles' chances and the Eagles as a contender now?
Yeah, definitely. But I don't think the Eagles fans, maybe that's like the outside view that silliness was going on. Like you mentioned N'Kobe Dean. N'Kobe Dean was one of the worst players in the entire NFL last year. And now
he's hurt too. He got hurt.
When he was on the fly, I mean, was he hurt or was he benched? Like it was always a thin line. He could not do anything. Now all of a sudden he's good. I credit Vic Fangio for that. Last year, they started out 10-1. Then Jalen Carter hit the biggest rookie wall you've ever seen in your life. And I do worry that, so all of a sudden, these guys are showing up. And Zach Bond, I don't know where he came from. The backstory that he was an edge rusher in college. New Orleans drafted him.
Technically came from Wisconsin, I guess.
New Orleans drafted him in the third round as an edge rusher. And now he can play middle linebacker? Wow. How does an edge rusher all of a sudden become this very effective covering running backs guy? And he's all over the field. This is unexpected. These defensive players stepping up and the rookies playing okay. I mean, they're pretty good. That doesn't happen.
Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell last night was phenomenal. Terry McLaurin couldn't get anything. And I think that was a lot of the pressure up front.
Yeah, but generally, like, this is very surprising to me that the defense is so good.
That's interesting, too, about Bond to start as a, you know, basically like a pass rusher kind of, and then go to linebacker. It's rare that when you go from college to the pros as a defensive person that you move out. Usually you're moving up, right? Because your speed is kind of going
the
down.
NFL
like,
does have
a lot of guys don't go from like a you know, linebacker to safety corner. It doesn't move backwards in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah, no, that wouldn't make any sense. You're right. But they do tend to drop pass rushers into coverage now. It's always comical. Yeah, no, I'm really impressed with the Eagles' defense. Again, their schedule's been somewhat soft, so we'll see. I mean, I'm not sure beating the Commanders at home right now is that quality win. I think beating Cincinnati seems like a bigger quality win, 37-17. I don't know how they match up against the Lions. Do you have any sense?
That's a question. That's the big question now, because it looks like the two best teams in the NFC. We'll see if we end up hearing from the 49ers at all.
I wouldn't count the Packers out
and
either.
The Packers as well, but Jordan Love's has been banged up. They're coming off their bye, the Packers, this week. EJ, what was your bigger takeaway? Jaden Daniels maybe hitting a wall, or are you taking the Eagles a lot more seriously now?
I am taking the Eagles more seriously, but I look at the Washington situation, and we say Jaden Daniels. I'm saying Cliff Kingsbury, because what have we seen in Cliff Kingsbury's entire career in the NFL?
Yeah.
Is the offense comes out, looks great, looks revolutionary. We're like, wow, this looks like something new. Like, this is going to be great. And right around, the temperatures start to drop right below 50 degrees. There's a little wind in the air. There's a little chill in the air. And all of a sudden, Cliff Kingsbury offenses can't move the ball.
Yeah.
And what I watched last night looked very familiar to what I saw in Arizona for 4 years, however long he was there. So I think if you're Washington, you got so much cushion, I think you probably make the playoffs. But I think moving forward with Cliff Kingsbury, you got to wonder, okay, does he have another ace up his sleeve? Like, or is this going to be the same thing every year with this guy where you're going to start off really good and the first half of the season game plan is great, and then when they adjust, he has no other options.
Right. 855-212-4227. It's a good point because they got Brian Robinson back last night.
Yeah, and it looked good to start the game a little bit, and then it's like they couldn't go back to him. It's like it didn't look like they really had – they were never comfortable. That's what it looked like to me. The receivers didn't look comfortable. It just was a kind of a mess of a game offensively, and the Eagles kept them in it with all the missed field goals.
I mean, here's the thing. Washington's built up a lot of wins against bad teams, so – They can beat a bad team. Like, they beat their three-game win streak, the Giants, the Bears, and the Panthers. Maybe, including me, overestimated how good they really are. That's another thing about that
Bengals win, I think, really kind of changed everybody's thoughts of them, but that's true.
But early season Bengals are such a weird team. So, anyway, yeah, maybe Cliff all along has had easy schedules in the first half of the season. That being said, they did move the ball against Pittsburgh. I think Maggie laying out that schedule has me back on the Commanders bandwagon. Thank you. Because I was, I mean, of course, they're a division rival of my team, but I do root for Jaden Daniels. You kind of got to root. Dan Quinn is all fired up. They're a likable team, which is so funny because that franchise was unlikable for so long.
Yeah, it's true. They have changed the vibe. Although, I think, listen, I thought Al Michaels and Herb Street were good last night. Kalee Hartung, they're good. I know Manny. I thought they were good last night. I thought they rose to the occasion. The game was not that interesting. They kept giving me some little things to keep me interested. But we're going a little over the top now, I think, with the Washington stuff.
What do you mean?
I get it. They were in the Dan Snyder era, so embarrassing.
Right.
But now they're going the other way where it's like, you know, they've imagined that they have all of a sudden fixed this culture overnight. And the reasons they're saying, I think to me, are a little bit like flimsy. Like, they have 13 former NFL players on their coaching staff. So how many do the Lions have? Of course they have former players on the coaching staff. Every team has former players on the coaching staff. That to me didn't feel like a reason to say, wow, this is why the culture has changed. It's like, no, Dan Snyder's out and they got rid of a lot of people at the top. And it only took 14 Washington Post exposés to finally get him out. And now they've got new ownership and the vibe has changed. It's not because they have 13 former NFL players on the coaching staff.
Yeah, I don't know if Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit talking about how many players was an opening for you to shred an NFL owner, which is your favorite thing to do.
No, he's been fine. I mean, I don't know how 76ers fans feel about him.
Dan Snyder, I'm saying.
Yeah, well, Snyder deserves it every time.
That has nothing to do with Dan Snyder. I mean, first of all, too, they have Bobby Wagner. I mean, it's cute. You're getting to see it. It's like a vintage team. It's like, you know how you go and get a vintage clothing, a sweater? That's Bobby Wagner on your defense. I don't know why. What do you all of a sudden you have a problem? Okay. You might as well celebrate this.
They're overcorrecting.
I don't know. They're a fun team. They're easy to root for because they really shouldn't be. They're 7-4. There's no way they should be 7-4. I mean, look at this team they put together. It's not ideal. I mean, the number two receiver is Diami Brown, right?
Yeah. No, that's got to change.
And also, Zach Ertz was left for dead, and now he's like their second best target.
That was a nice moment with Ertz putting his arm around Jaden Daniels, you know, after he threw a bad
pick. Yeah, no, I think it should be positive. Al Michaels did screw up that 4th-and-2 play. He thought it was 3rd-and-2. That was, you could clearly say, he's like, it took him forever to understand that it was fourth and two. Mm. Anyway, that was a bad mistake because it was a critical play of the game. But you're right. I thought they did a nice job. It wasn't a great game, I'll give you that, but at least it was competitive.
Manny was bored.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to see somebody throw long touchdowns. Remember when Michael Vick played Washington on primetime? That's the best primetime game. When he, on like the second play of the game, faked left and threw a 90-yard pass downfield to DeSean Jackson. Like, I needed some of that. Not much of that last night.
Now, the explosive plays really aren't a part of the NFL experience much anymore.
That's two straight games now. That's just, dog, this game sucks.
What was the other
one? More Manny mean tweets, Miami
Monday,
and the
Monday
Rams.
Football.
That was competitive. I hear what you're saying, but it's better than...
Great competitive.
It's better than 35-7.
I'd rather have 35-7. That game you were talking about, Michael Vick, that was a blowout, but it was exciting as hell because he was putting on a show.
855-212-4227. It gets us into a bigger discussion. Today you can call in about, well, anything, obviously. We open the phone lines to you. Jaden Daniels, do you feel a swoon coming, and are you taking the Eagles more seriously? But also just a lot of people complaining about the quality of play in the NFL. We'll get into that a little bit more. 855-212-4227. We also have some fun quotes from Mike McCarthy coming your way. And we have big, big games this weekend. Hopefully it'll be a lot better, a lot more entertaining than last night. Okay, Maggie and Perloff, let's go.
Sports fans, listen up. 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and bladder leaks can be a side effect. That's why Depend is teaming up with the Prostate Cancer Foundation to encourage screening. Because health is a long game, and it's yours to win. Here's the cool part. Through November, Depend is contributing up to $300,000 to prostate cancer research by donating 40 cents for every purchase of shields, guards, and RealFit products. Void in Mississippi. Learn more at Depend.com. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff show. Breaking down the Eagles' win over the Commanders last night. But we have a sort of inner show issue going on.
What's that?
Party lines have been drawn. There's Team Maggie and Team Bogus on one key issue. What's worse, a broken glass on the ground or Legos on the ground? And surprisingly, my daughter, Emma, is Team Bogus in a big way. She's like, Maggie does not understand. We had a long discussion about this last night, how dangerous having Legos on the ground is. And I said, well, Maggie said, you don't go to the ER because of Legos. And she said, au contraire, you do go to the ER because of Legos. Because Bogus is claiming that his kids deserve to step on broken glass because they keep leaving out Legos. That was an actual quote.
It was a quote. Bogus is a major trouble. I mean, you can talk about whether or not you're in the doghouse at your actual house, but... Yeah, basically at Bogus's house, it can be like that scene in Die Hard where the guy had to walk over all that broken glass, and that's totally okay. Where do you have to get a Lego lodge to go to the ER?
Oh, your throat?
I've been to the ER too many times this year. You'll see some weird stuff there.
Yeah. I wasn't thinking of a Lego lodge. I meant like stepping on it and tripping or
something. A laceration something.
Yeah. I mean...
I was talking about having a young child. There's no bigger code red in your home than if someone breaks a glass. Because they're walking around with no socks on a lot. And they're just all over. They're just so close to the floor. They're just on the floor.
I have a bigger code red.
What's that?
Some idiot gave my kids this old game called Jax. Do you know what Jax are?
Yes. Bogus just had this whole thing happen on Halloween.
Oh, what happened?
A lady was so excited to see me. She went, and I don't know who she is.
Oh,
she went running in her house and came back out and very... like dramatically presented me with a bag of Jacks.
I do remember this, but did you keep them? Because if a Jack gets on the ground and you step on that, you really might have to go to the ER.
They're like ninja stars almost. That's
they're little ninja stars.
Yeah, it's like the same as stepping on a rusty nail. By the way, did you ever hit a message board, like a QAnon thing, to figure out what this woman was trying to tell you with the Jacks?
I didn't want to create any kind of like internet paper trail. I just wanted to move on, not understand in no way connect with her or find out something horrible. But the Jacks are sitting on my son's dresser right now.
Get rid of
yesterday,
them. Get rid of, that's a trip
I'm
to the ER.
That's definitely a hazard in the home.
Unless he wants
they're
to
still
play
in the bag, thankfully.
But if she would, but she's not trying to like hurt you. She was excited to give you this bag of Jacks, and we have no idea what the double meaning is of this. You're not curious at all?
I'm scared. I don't want to know. It's kind of like aliens. I assume they're out there. I don't need to know the specifics. Something was weird with this woman. I don't want to know exactly what. Let's just move on.
Can I tell you a surprising Andrew Perloff as a kid fact? Owned many ninja stars, was obsessed with ninjas, and went to like flea markets and bought like ninja stuff.
That doesn't seem safe.
No. But the thing is, if you buy a ninja star, there is nothing less sharp and less dangerous than a ninja star at a garage sale. Like, they're so dull. I would throw them. They'd just clang against the wood.
That might have been operator error.
No. Seriously. Like, these
no one's ever wrist said, in that, sweetheart.
You know who looks like they'd be a great ninja? McLovin.
No, back in the 80s, they used to sell. There was a big ninja thing. Like, ninjas were super hot.
You know, my dad had ninja stars. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I get it. I grew up with ninja. Ninja Turtles, like that, yeah. they're still very big.
There was a string of real ninja movies that were just red hot when we were like 11, and we all had ninja stars. We all had nunchucks, and like everyone thinks they know how to use nunchucks, and like you would do the nunchucks, and you like sort of like hit your arm by accident,
just give yourself a concussion.
Yeah, but you still feel so cool. Yeah,
one of the coolest things I had at Comic-Con a couple weeks ago was seeing actual like weapons. Like someone had like the Daredevil bully club.
Oh, yeah,
you can pull it out and it becomes like a two thing. And then like he's like, oh, feel it. I'm like, this is a real weapon. Yeah. Like the wrong person would buy this and then start like clubbing people over the head.
Yeah, America is super soft right now by not giving children real weapons.
Sounds like you're on my side. You want
to- yeah. In the 80s.
More shards of glass and nunchucks and ninja stars for kindergartners.
I mean, it is crazy to be a parent now because I grew up, I would be sitting shotgun when I was 4 years old with no seatbelt in the family station
wagon.
The car. I'd be smoking a cigarette, which were healthy at the time, throwing ninja stars. I'm telling you, things are regulated for children. Like, yeah, you know what I mean, Maggie. Like, yeah. When we were kids, anything went. Now it's really hard to be a parent.
The visual of Perloff with a cigarette dangling out of his mouth,
and then
driving
in
a station wagon, just twirling some nunchucks with a booster seat.
No one had any problem like sitting a young child in front of Gilligan's Island for 7 hours at a time. Totally fine back in 1982. Now I guess it's frowned upon.
Supposedly.
Now it's an iPad.
I know. What's worse? Ninjas? Are we still doing ninjas? Do they still exist?
I don't really feel like it's a special thing.
There's a trend, at least in New York City. There's a class. It's called Ninjate, where it's a ancient study of the ninja arts that a lot of people take. It's like a martial art.
Isn't there? My kids loved a ninja show on Disney Junior. Does that still exist?
No clue. I mean,
can we put that poll up? Are ninjas still a thing?
And I feel like then all of a sudden someone in a black mask is going to come in and slit our throats.
Drop through the ceiling.
Or like you throw one of those things on the ground and it creates a big smoke. Yeah.
If I could secretly be a ninja, that would be so cool, right?
It'd be shocking if you were secretly a ninja.
It'd be cool only for you, though, because no one would know that you're a secret ninja, so you couldn't actually like celebrate it.
Well, that's true.
But you got to be a lot more mysterious.
I would know. Yeah, ninjas are the art of deception. Maybe I am a ninja.
You're not.
I'm 6'4", 200 pounds, totally awkward. It'd be very hard for me to be a ninja.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you've made several trips to the ER over a finger.
Oh my God.
I don't know if that's ninja.
I have.
It's all part of the rouge.
I have four broken fingers. My hands are secretly like Brian Baldinger's. I have terrible hands.
They're all going in different directions.
You think it's just the fingers? You know how many times I've been in the ER after basketball? At least 27 times. 2 concussions, 50 knee injuries. I have stitches all over my body from awkwardly running into things. It's called Ninjate.
But maybe you're a ninja. Maybe I'm Glenn.
That's why. Yeah, they won't see it coming.
I know it's an old reference, but there is an old Seinfeld episode where Kramer takes up karate, but he's only doing it with children.
Yeah, I love
he's
that.
He's down
episode.
At the dojo, and everyone's 9 years old, and he's kicking their butts, and then they finally get revenge on him in a back alley.
Yeah, when all of Kramer's friends think that he's bragging about, oh, I'm a brown belt, I'm a black belt. Whoa, he's really killing it. And then they come down and Jerry discovers they're 8 years old.
Yep.
That's great. That would be me. I'm going to take this ninja class. I'm going to sign up. I'm not joking.
It's going to end badly. Bogus has headlines for us.
These headlines are sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season's here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks, use code MANDP, and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
MANDP.
His team was down 12-10, approaching the midpoint of the fourth quarter in Philly last night. Dan Quinn could have opted for a go-ahead 43-yard field goal, but instead, his Commanders went for it on fourth down.
On fourth and two, Daniels under center. Daniels puts a man in motion. Daniels is back. He's being chased. He's running. He's being pushed. He's knocked out of bounds. The Eagles take over on downs. The Eagles take over on downs.
Merrill Reese on Eagles radio. Philly turned that into a Saquon Barkley 23-yard touchdown run, then picked off Jaden Daniels, turned that into another Barkley TD sprint. Philly winning 26-18. No regrets, though, for Quinn.
Going into it, we knew we'd have to take our shots against a tough division team on the road. We thought that was an appropriate one. Certainly don't like the execution and the result, but we were prepared for that and being bold into those moments, knowing we'd have some fourth downs.
His team has now dropped two in a row and is a game and a half behind these Eagles in the NFC East. The Philly win streak is six. Jalen Hurts threw for 221 yards, ran for a score, and cleared a concussion check in the second quarter.
Guess I beat the protocol.
Beat the protocol.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. He said he beat the protocol?
Beat the case. I love it.
I beat the protocol.
Yeah, and then he said he didn't remember much about the hit that triggered the check, so he kind of made a joke about a concussion, and then said he didn't remember getting possibly one.
I'd love to know what are the questions they're asking them during the concussion test if one of them isn't, do you remember what just happened?
Yeah. I mean, so yes, every time you hit your head, you don't get a concussion, but you also might not know you have a concussion right away. That this is the weird, like, is that a paradox? Like, with this situation, like, the symptoms are not immediate always.
All I know is Amazon doesn't pay billions of dollars to see Kenny Pickett come in the second quarter. So NFL is not taking Jalen Hurts out of that game.
Another Bezos call.
I mean, the NFL is, it seems like that concussion lawsuit was a long, long time ago. They do not care like they did. 5 years ago, they'd at least give lip service concussions. Now it's like, you go back in the game, just rub some salt on it, dude.
Do you guys remember, can you remember recently the guy in the press box calling down to tell someone to come off the field?
Yeah.
No, I don't hear that much.
I think they're on the sideline now.
Is that why?
Oh, yeah, there used to be a spotter.
Right. I'm like, I feel like there have been times like where you can remember like the official stopping the game. Like, you can see him like go get somebody and walk him off. I don't feel like that's happened in a long time.
Yeah, you know, but maybe they don't announce it. You're right. I don't remember hearing that. I mean, we all see it. Chris Olave's hit, like, you don't need an independent spot.
Right, he was really.
But the independent neurologist is still the thing. They said that yesterday.
Yeah.
And his name is Larry Goodell. Totally independent. It's basically, it's weird. He looks exactly like Roger Jesus. Goodell wearing a fake mustache. The independent neurologist. Independent from who? I mean, geez.
I just love the idea of Goodell showing up with like a wig on and a fake mustache and a doctor bag, being like, here I am, like Fletch trying to get into the
Bobby Valentine style.
Yeah, Bobby Valentine.
Kelly Hartung's like, Jalen Hurts is in the tent with the independent neurologist.
Schmodger Schmidell.
Yeah.
The only guy, this guy, he has bad luck. The only guy I feel like that actually was stopped by the independent neurologist was Jamal Adams. Remember, he went to fight the guy.
Was that this season?
That was last season.
Okay.
That was crazy. But that guy can't catch a break.
That's on brand.
Jalen Hurts basically doesn't know Rem or anything. Yeah. Jamal Adams has to fight a guy to get back on the field.
Totally on brand for Jamal Adams. So.
Yeah. We're just done with Jamal Adams.
Chiefs kicker Harrison Butker now likely to land on IR. He needs meniscus surgery. KC is signing Spencer Schrader off the Jets practice squad. Just one game in the NBA last night. The Jazz snuck past the Mavs 115-113 for their first home win of the season. Luka Doncic, 37.7 rebounds, 9 assists in the loss. Georgia running back Trevor Etienne is out tomorrow against Tennessee. He suffered an upper body injury 2 weeks ago, then got just 6 carries in last week's loss to Ole Miss. Braves lefty Chris Sale, White Sox lefty Garrett Crochet,
picked comeback players of the year by MLB.com beat writers. Apparently, it was a baseball awards show last night.
I think it was in Las Vegas.
I'm sure it was. It'd be nice if somebody told us about it.
Did they hand an MVP and stuff?
No, these are lesser level, maybe unofficial awards.
For an award show, they don't even give out the big ones?
No, the big ones start next week in singular, like they each have their own day.
Kind of lame award show is that?
Baseballs.
Did you see Shota Imanaga singing Go Cubs Go? That was part of the award show.
No, again, I had no idea this was happening.
Why does baseball have the worst award situation ever? They were dropping Golden Gloves
at
like 11 p.m. Sunday night. There are award shows that nobody knows about that are apparently being televised. Yeah. We don't know when the MVP is going to get dropped. This is bizarre.
You know, we do know MVP. There are a date for the awards. They do start next week, but they might as well like put this on election night. Like who?
They don't do off season well. Like they're
not
draft
even a little bit.
They've never been able to get the draft going.
The draft is in their season.
It's in July now.
No wonder.
Right in All Star Weekend or All Star Week, whatever they want to call it. Which I actually don't mind that part of it. I think that's kind of cool. But everything they screw everything else up.
Honestly, the biggest thing they have that I don't think they capitalize enough on, well, the draft, yeah, but also the futures game. Like
that's so fun.
That should be way bigger.
No, there was an era. Yeah,
exactly.
I don't know. I guess people don't. Do they not care about prospects as much anymore?
No, the problem with baseball is that they don't play in the majors right away.
Yeah.
Like that's the hurdle they can't fix is that every other draft is like, oh my god, did you see blah blah blah, and then he's in the game that year. You can watch the draft and not see that guy for 5 years in baseball. That's its problem.
How do we speed them up the minors?
You can't. A little hockey. Let's close with that. History in Edmonton last night.
Tried to get it low, and it was knocked out of the air by Nurse. He'll give it to Drysdale down the left wing to McDavid. Scores! There's the 1,000 points! And the Oilers have tied this game at one, and they all come off the bench to mob Connor McDavid.
That's Jack Michaels on Oilers Radio. Connor McDavid, the original Perloff Connor crush, getting his 1,000th career point with that goal in a 4-3 OT win over Nashville. McDavid is the fourth quickest to 1,000. Only Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, and Mike Bossy needed fewer games to get there. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thanks so much. Coming up, we've got so many great games this weekend and also a bit of advice for America's team. Maggie and Perloff. Perloff, we got so many great games this weekend in the NFL. College, too. But we've got to pause for a second because, you know, we might not be able to talk about the Dallas Cowboys much for the rest of the year because they are teetering on irrelevance. However, head coach Mike McCarthy said that if Dallas did turn their season around, this would be an all-time great story.
These moments really confirm, you know, who you are, why you're here. And that's the way I look at it. I think this is an incredible opportunity for this football team, what's in front of us, to be in this valley of adversity. And I think what to come out of this would be, you know, would be a great story.
Okay, a little more from McCarthy. Said the team is focused on the Texans, but also told them they have a great opportunity to do something special here.
There's a ton of work, and the only work we're really focused on is really beating the Houston Texans. But, man, this is a great opportunity for us. And I tell these guys, you know, repeatedly, you know, just enjoy this. This is something that you can really learn from for the rest of your life.
This would be the worst thing ever for the Cowboys if they turn things around. I don't even know what a turnaround necessarily looks like. I guess sneaking into the playoffs.
Wait, why? I don't get it. Why would that be bad?
Well, that's your Cowboy quickie. The wake-up call that is needed to actually make some changes on this team has to be so big that Jerry has to be, leave no doubt that Jerry has to make some changes.
You got to hand it to him on a silver platter.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because stop me if you've heard this one before. If somehow the Cowboys go on some kind of run with Cooper Rush as a backup quarterback, and then people are like, oh, look at Mike McCarthy. Look at he's doing more with less and all of that. Is anyone 100% sure that McCarthy's not coming back? And
well, listen, shut up and let me answer.
I've got no dog in this fight. Thank you, Manny. I've got no dog in this fight, but I know Cowboy fans in our lives and listeners, they don't want him back. So if you're a real Cowboy fan and you really want things to change with the organization in terms of a coach or whatever, you got to hope this thing gets way worse before it gets better.
Well, I mean, It doesn't have to get way worse. They're 3-6. They're 3-7, 3-6. One of those two. Anyway, it can't get way worse. They're non-competitive right now. So right. They're fine. You don't have to worry about that. I thought you were talking about tanking for a pick. The problem, one of the other issues is they have Dak Prescott on the hook for $60 million a year. That makes you feel kind of hopeless. Like, what's the point of even being bad?
Well, you're hoping, first of all, the higher the pick, like, that always will help.
It helps, but they don't need to tank because I think it'd be more exciting for them if they didn't have Dak Prescott on this giant contract, because I worry that if you're a Cowboy fan, I think the most hopeless thing about it is like, wow, Dak is getting physically less capable of playing quarterback year after year after year. So you're worried about that.
Well, can I also remind you that he had season-ending hamstring surgery 2 days ago?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's not getting any better.
But you're never getting anyone else because you just signed him.
Well, that's the whole thing. And, you know, can we just pause on that for a second? And this idea that somehow Deion and Shador would both be going to the Cowboys to somehow jumpstart the franchise. How does anyone think that makes sense with all the new money that they've committed to Dak Prescott?
Well, I think a lot of people think that it'd be Deion and Travis.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. That makes a little bit more sense. But do you think that Deion wants to coach Travis more, or does he want to coach Shador more?
I don't think he's going to have that choice if he does. There's no way the Cowboys are getting Shador Sanders.
Right, exactly.
So
it wouldn't make any sense. That's why I wasn't sure what people thought that Shador could be the next quarterback of the Cowboys. That's not going to happen.
But how cool would Travis Hunter wearing that star on his helmet be? I obviously grew up hating the Cowboys, but Travis Hunter being the new Deion in Dallas, that'd be good for the NFL.
No, it'd be fantastic.
If our friend Larry Goodell could somehow
Rogers get alter ego.
Travis Hunter would fix a lot of things in Dallas. You know, what they need really is excitement. They need something thrilling. Like, you don't want to bring back a 30-something Ezekiel Elliott. Like, there's this theory out there that they actually were tanking this season quietly. That a lot of people are saying, oh, this is brilliant by Jerry. He didn't spend any money this offseason because he's gearing up for 2025.
But which then is why pay Dak?
Well, they had to pay Dak at one point because if you're gearing up for 2025, you need a veteran quarterback there to run the team. Hmm. So that didn't mean drafting. Now, this is a theory of Dallas Cowboys fans who are trying to make sense of why Jerry didn't go all in.
It sounds like a cope.
Yeah, exactly.
You're coping.
It's a rationalization for sure. But,
because you'd be tanking, but you paid Lamb and you paid Dak.
Right, but you're not really tanking, but you're saving your money for next year.
But why?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't get it. This year with the NFC, this actually was the year to be going for it, because the 49ers, one of your biggest rivals, appears weakened. It's really just you and the Lions and the Eagles. Like, who are these great teams in the end? And maybe the Packers, and hopefully the Packers, because that would be fun. But
well, why do you think it'd be any different next year? By the way, you just named four pretty good teams. That being said, the other interesting thing is, so Deron Bland, they were asking Mike McCarthy, like, is he playing again? Like, that's the other thing. Like, what happened to their injured players? Now they're going to shut him down for the season. Like, I like that speech by Mike McCarthy. I actually thought that was kind of nice. Like, hey, you have an opportunity to do something nobody expects here. That's trying to make the best out of a bad situation. I wouldn't worry about this thing. Your fear that he's going to be really good and keep his job, I think you're okay. I really do, Maggie. I don't think that's going to happen.
Listen, all in.
Don't need any rah-rah stuff now. We are long past that if you're the Cowboys. Now it's just got to be, let's crater to the bottom here and figure out what you're going to do next season.
I think that's happening. Cooper Rush, yeah. Did you watch Cooper Rush last week? Do you see any hope for a massive turnaround? They're 3-6. I don't see this working. So that's good, right? Like, you're going to have major change. You're going to bring in Bill Belichick. You're going to bring in Mike Vrabel. That's good.
I would think so. But again, if you somehow kickstart some run here, say they beat the Texans.
That could
happen. 7.5-point underdog.
But. Well, the Texans are a little beat up, obviously. Even so, they're not going to get the playoffs. And if McCarthy doesn't make the playoffs, Jerry has to move on.
Of course. EJ, you look like you want to weigh in here.
Right? I'm just not convinced he will.
Yeah, I know.
That's the problem. That long pause, I'm just like, we'll see. I'm also worried that, like, if Jerry would move on. Yeah, I'm also worried that if they do move on from McCarthy, you mentioned Mike Vrabel. Does he want this job? Is this an attractive job to people? Like, I think that's a question maybe that's an uncomfortable question for Cowboys fans, but I think it's a real one. We all these conversations about the distractions, the tours, dealing with Jerry Jones. Belichick may be desperate. I don't know if Ben Johnson or Mike Vrabel will be desperate for the Cowboys.
Well, the other part, don't forget, I don't think think the Cowboys are paying at the top of the market either.
That's
so
true.
You're not going to get that John Gruden 10 years, $100 million or whatever he got. 855-212-4227. Okay, lots more to do, including, got to do it, guys, Chiefs-Bills game of the weekend.